Buglers, we are live from Leicester Square Theatre on the 16th of September with Chris Addison and Alice Fraser. It might be our only London date of the year, so get your tickets now. Oh, get them at thebuglepodcast.com. That bit's important.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is a podcast from The Bugle.
Hello and welcome to Catharsis. I'm Tiff Stevenson, full-time comedian, part-time, massively unqualified therapist for this podcast only. Each week I talk to a guest about small things that bother them, pet peeves. We also dive into old wounds that maybe need healing and a topical gripe or two to see if we can provide some insight, but mainly some catharsis. You can sweat the small stuff with me. Now, before I introduce my guest, it is tradition for me to get out a little beef of my own. And I was thinking, because I was in Brighton the other day, and I went past a restaurant where I had, after a weekend of shows at the Comedia, I went with friends and had a very big fish platter in the daytime on a Sunday, like a brunch, a fish brunch, which was not the greatest of ideas. It had been quite a heavy weekend. And I felt quite sick. I'm allergic to oysters. Basically, I've worked out if it's been clinging to a rock in the Mediterranean, it shouldn't go into my mouth. So, you know, oysters, Ronaldo, whatever it is. Also, oysters look like someone sneezed into a soap dish. So they're not the most appealing things. But I tried and I got very sick and I was with my friend. So I need to give him credit here because he was driving us home. But he was with his girlfriend at the time, who was a, and I can say this now, a complete fantasist. Made up the job, the place that she lived, and made up that she was sick. And I said, oh, actually, I feel quite nauseous. I think we're going to have to pull over. And she said, we can't. I'm really ill. So what happened was my friend passed me a carrier bag to be sick in. I was sat in the back. And of course, all carrier bags come with these pre-punched holes in them to stop kids suffocating with them. So effectively, all he'd done is give me some kind of sick sieve, which was then getting wielded in the back of the car. And I was like, it's dripping out of the bag, and eventually he stopped. And then I just got out by Ace Cafe on the North Circular and was throwing up. And the thing that really struck me was, as I was throwing up onto my flip-flops at the side of the road, a guy came past on a Harley Davidson and like whistled at me. A male friend told me that that apparently I looked like I was a game girl up for a good time.
Oh,
you know, by puking on my flip-flops.
Wow.
And you can hear that's the voice of my guest responding to this story. I will get her take on it, but I'm joined this week, an absolute joy to be joined by comedian, podcaster, soon to be author, and my friend Lou Sanders.
Hello. Yes, author. Stick author in. give me a little bit of oomph, you know.
Soon
to be author. I am an author. I've written the thing.
You've written the thing, yes. Yeah. Soon to be published.
Designed the front cover, haven't heard back. I think they like doing that sort of thing themselves. I said, I've got a few ideas, sent them the front cover. I think they said, well, I think we'll let the marketing team do that. Yeah, the man might have been whistling to cheer you up. Still got it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. For the first section of the podcast, we like the guest to bring an old grudge along. So something that happened in the past, that maybe at work situation, school, friends, whatever it is, that you wish you'd have handled differently.
I'm a terrible fit for this podcast because I believe in forgiveness, don't I? Moving on.
Well, That's so, okay.
Yeah, but grudges. So one Christmas a couple of years ago, I was handing round hors d'oeuvres and I thought one of them was vegetarian and it wasn't. It had these tiny little pieces of parma ham in, and my sister-in-law ate it and then was like, fuck, you know, that's got meat in. And she cried and I felt so bad. And I was, I'm so sorry. I felt so bad because it's horrible when you eat meat, and she's been vegetarian forever. And then she said, right, now you have to eat one as well with the meat in. Because I'm vegan. And I was like, I don't know if that'll help it. I don't know if that'll make it better.
Well, that suggests, okay, so let's unpack it, because I'm doing the therapist thing.
Neither of us were right in that situation, but mine at least was a mistake.
Yours was a mistake. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like punishing someone by making them do the same thing for a genuine mistake is incredibly unfair.
It's batshit crazy, isn't it?
Look at me, I'm like trying to be measured and you're like, that is batshit.
Batshit crazy. I love the girl. We all have a day off. Christmas is very stressful. You know, she's got a lot of good in her. But I do sometimes think about that and think, why did I have to eat the meat as well? You know what I mean?
It's weird. Maybe she's like layered upon herself that it's such a cardinal sin, and that if she's sinned, that somehow you need to be in the sinning too.
Baby. I'll show you the pictures. But I don't think that's going to help us.
Well, actually, what's the interesting thing of like, why, what's interesting to unpack here is, why would you then doing it make her feel better?
I guess because I've suffered as well and I know what it's like. So I get it. In a way, I can empathise with her. And Christmas, everyone goes nuts anyway. Yeah. You know, and it, like, I was in her house, like, handing out the hors d'oeuvres, which I thought was helpful. And I think she thought I was on her territory. And little things like that, you don't know what people are thinking. And that, you know, it's like aggravating them when you're trying to help. And people go bonkers, don't they? I was in charge of hors d'oeuvres. That was my one big job. And I absolutely effed it. But I did go and get some lovely hors d'oeuvres. The vegetarian ones were lovely. She should have got a chops around one of them. Also, don't believe me when I tell you that one's vegetarian. Have a look yourself. I can't be trusted.
Yeah. So what, did it have parma ham on it? I think parma ham's quite obvious.
Yeah, well, let's blame her. She did. To be fair to her, she did ask twice if it was. But loads is going on. Everyone's shouting at you.
Yeah,
you're like.
I suppose the other thing you can do in that scenario is advocate for yourself. And when she was like, "You've got to eat one as well," and everyone's upset and crying, you just go, "No, I'm not going to do that. Well, I'm sorry that it happened, it was an accident, but I'm not going to do that."
Do you know what I did after I was? Sort of had a little cry in the bathroom. I picked off the parma ham from the thing and then said, look, I'll eat it, because she wouldn't give up. And right. I picked off the parma ham unbeknownst to her, and then I shoved it in my gob in front of her, and she thought, all right, we're even.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
That's, you know, I've let go of it. I have let go, but we need to talk about something, I suppose.
No, it's very interesting because obviously, like, something, well, she's vegetarian and you're vegan.
Yeah, but so I do cheat on veganism a bit, with meat. Like, meat is disgusting.
You cheat on it with?
With, now and again, like, I'll have a bit of cheese or like a milk chocolate at the end of them if it's like, you know, if it's there.
Yeah.
But I try not to. Oh, no, rank. But I've probably like had to, if I think about it, it grosses me out. But like, if I'm really hungry and there's a really nice cake with a bit of egg in, sometimes I'll just have it anyway. But then afterwards, I feel
egg
so
is
sad.
Quite far removed, I suppose, from the process. It's not like if you're having a boiled or a poached egg.
Oh yeah, no, thanks.
You know, that's a different.
But then I can still taste it, and it makes me feel yuck, and I feel bad after. So I don't think it's ideal, but it's, you know, you do what you can when you can. You know, I'm not like some people are so ethical about it.
Right,
I'm a bit like, Let me try that sometimes.
Yeah, let me try that. And also, you seem to be quite relaxed around other people, like
having meat when they don't want it.
No, but I mean, like, if you weren't like, oh, you can't have meat. I've never seen you be like, don't eat.
No, I wouldn't have a burger if it was cooked on the same, like a veggie burger if it's cooked on the same. But Then I was fed meat at Burger King and it was disgusting. I said like 4 or 5 times to him, are you sure this is vegan? And he was like, yeah. They just make it taste like the meat. And I was like, are you sure? And I was eating. I went out for the 4th time. I went, are you sure this is vegan? And then this other guy comes up and goes, it's probably not, because I think he's given me yours and yours mine. So you've got R1. So I had a meat burger and I'd had like 4 bites.
Oh, no.
And then I was retching up, but in front of the guy, so he knew, because he didn't give it. He didn't care. He wasn't crying in the toilet. He didn't care. So I was retching in front of him and I thought, I don't really care that I'm retching. Do you know what I mean?
Like, no, I feel like that's, this. I think that's a valid response, yeah. Of kind of going, I have this. I don't want to eat it and I can't eat it.
The thought of the flesh in the teeth. And I said to the guy was really nice who saw me then yakking up and I had his burger and his son had mine, because I don't think the guy gets it, but it's so horrible. Like, I haven't eaten meat for years, like, you know, 30 years or something. And I was like, it's so gross to have the flesh in your mouth. And he's like, there's no meat in these things. Don't worry about it.
Because I've seen, like, when I've been in, and you might have had this in LA, which is great if you're vegetarian or vegan.
Yeah.
But Impossible Burrito and Impossible Burgers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where I was like, this just tastes the same to me.
I know, it is a bit, yeah, I have those ones. And there's another one as well, Beyond, I think, where because I've had a couple of accidents, then you do get a bit paranoid and you're eating it going, I wish this tastes a bit less like meat, actually.
Yes, so you want to be certain that you're in a bean burger or territory or whatever.
God, I feel like I've talked about veganism too much, and I tell you what, that is polarizing. Let's get onto the sexy stuff.
Let's get onto the sexy stuff. No, but thank you for sharing the grudge. I feel like it's I feel like you try to give a kind response. So this is do you feel better now you've spoken about it?
Yeah, I do. I hope she doesn't listen to the podcast, but I do. And that's my truth, and she's got her truth.
Yes.
You know, we're learning, we're loving, we're healing every moment. We're not really,
I just will make sure to never pick anything up for you that has meat in it.
Thank you.
But like you say, you can't protect yourself from life's mistakes.
Thank you.
So.
Thank you.
So I feel like I hope she's okay from it now. And yes, I understand that would be traumatic. But I also think that the idea that you must have someone else do it to even you out is a way to kind of go, that's not believing that someone's made a mistake. And because you are vegan or veggie, you definitely wouldn't have done it on purpose, because you can't imagine anything worse than that happening to you. So thank you for sharing.
Thank you for caring.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
We like to call the second section of the podcast Topical Cream. This is where we attempt to apply some cream to a stingy news story.
Yes.
Some balm to something that's got you, something that's happening at the moment that you're like, I wish that wasn't happening.
Well, for me, it's a coronation and the fact that that was all of our money and we didn't get a choice. And then they say, don't worry, we make it back with tourists. And that is that's a lie, so we don't lop off their heads.
Did you see the ceremonial sword that Penny Morden had? I was like, Claire's Accessories going to do a version of that. That would be fun.
Yeah.
But also, I've always thought when they say money doesn't grow on trees, I'm like, well, it kind of does, because it's made from paper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they say, we have we'll make money in tourism, but we won't. It's a lie. That's a big fat lie, because like, you tell me how you benefit from tourists. I do not want tourists at a comedy show. They're absolutely shit audience at a comedy show. And I'm not doing any comedy shows in Leicester Square. So you tell me how I'm going to benefit from tourism.
Yes, that can be difficult if people are... I've had nice tourist audiences, but I did have recently at one of the old rope shows, some people who'd come to town, to Leicester Square, to go and see Sylvia the musical, and couldn't get, it was cancelled. So they came to the show instead. And I said, Sylvia, I was like, oh, who's that? Is that a musical about Sylvia Plath?
Yeah.
It's not. It's about...
it's an honour.
It's the suffragette one, you know.
Oh, right.
So I was like, oh, okay. That's a very different plot line to what I was thinking of, and quite sad poetry. But yeah, I was like, how does this compare culturally? Like, you didn't think you were going to see.
Oh, no, they're livid. Do you know the one worst thing about having tourists at an audience is angry tourists that thought they were going to go see Sylvia.
They were going to see a lovely musical with Beverly Knight being amazing. And what they got was me slinging some dick jokes. So
that's not to dishonour tourists. They're lovely, of course. But in an audience, it is harder because they don't.
Well, the references, especially when you're... Especially if you get super local.
Well, then they often translate, like, they translate the gig to their mate.
Oh, yeah, that's one of the ones. And then you have a go at someone for talking. And you're like, oh, no, I'm translating. And you're like, oh, that's kind of nice, but also quite disruptive.
Babe, you can't translate. Your timing's going to be off. You know, you're not a professional.
Yeah, I once did a show where live translation happened in everyone's headsets. It was at, where was it? It was at the Oslo Freedom Forum. So I did my stand-up in English, and then people had headsets, and it was all being translated by...
No.
But then, so I'd get a laugh in the room from all the English speakers.
Yeah.
And then there would be, like, a little beat, and then, like, some other laughs.
Oh, no.
As they're translating it. It's a very weird experience. I'm also, not sure...
In Oslo, surely everyone speaks English, like...
No, but they come from around the world, because it's, like, it's a forum, so...
Yeah.
People have travelled from all around the world, so...
And also, you know, God bless everyone. I don't mean to be rude about tourists. We do obviously want them here, obviously. But I just don't know how much... I'm not selling I Love London t-shirts in a tube station. So I just don't know how much we'd benefit from that. Also, I think it's a load of old doody, because they would come to England anyway.
I think they'd come. I think we've got great historical buildings and...
Have you heard of the Natural History Museum, for example?
Yeah. The Science Museum.
Yeah, for example. Another example.
You know. We've got examples. Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing your topical beef. It's time, Lou, to share your unpopular opinion. Now, this could be something you love that everyone else hates, or vice versa, that you hate that everyone else loves.
It's, for me, police sirens. And I'm going to say, I know it's... All of the sirens. I know. I think they're trying to help. Well, word on the street is that they're trying to help people. Fine. Love that. Love that for them. But I think it could be a touch quieter. Or I think they could do it in a less sort of... we get it. Like, we hear you're coming through. Like, we'll move away. Just calm down a bit. Like, it's not good
chill out.
Yeah, chill out. It's not good to panic everyone. And you've just caused more accidents.
It is quite stressful once you get near to, particularly a fire engine, because I think visually there's a big visual aid. You've got the big red engine. You've got the lights as well. You do have lights.
Yeah, just easy on the sound a little bit, because you don't want me to go into the back of someone on my bike because you're going, you know. It's just like, just chill out a bit with it.
You're a cyclist, aren't you, Lou? I've forgotten that you cycle quite a lot.
Yeah, only to get to A to B. I don't wear all the lycra. I take it seriously.
You're not a mammal.
No. What's a mammal?
Middle-aged man in lycra.
Oh, lovely. Show me those mammals. Yeah, so I just think, because if you're next to a fire engine or a police car or whatever, it's so loud that I don't think there needs to be all that fuss. Have they thought about playing a song or something that would, you know, soothe us into it?
Something upbeat.
Yeah, something upbeat, you know, or even like Metallica, that would be a horrible noise. No, no disrespect to Metallica. They're great for a lot of people, but for me, not a nice noise.
Not your favourite?
Not my favourite, yeah, but they're doing some great work in the field, I'm sure.
Okay, let's workshop this. I'm wondering if it's an ambulance and there's someone in the back in pain. Metallica's probably not going to be great for them.
But that's what something I mean. Upbeat. Like, if you're in an ambulance, you don't want all the Nino stuff. Like, you'd just be like, come on, I need a bit of shut eye here.
Yeah, I don't know what the soundproofing's like inside. I mean, I've been in an ambulance before, but not when it's been Nino, just with the sirens on, I think.
Once this guy nicked my phone. To be fair, he nicked it from the floor because I had already dropped my phone. But so I dropped my phone, this guy took it, and yeah, I think he was on loads of drugs and stuff, so he wasn't that clever with where he was sort of hiding it, and the thing was still on, so I could trace it. So I said to the police, look, I went to go get my computer and put the like ID on it, and I was like, right, my phone's been nicked and it's in these block of flats. So the police put their siren on to go and get it, and I was like, oh, they put it on for anything. Like, my, do you know what I mean? I was thinking, oh, they love the drama and the check. They're like, woo, yeah. You know, and I was very grateful, but I was thinking, okay, now I get that they put it on for a girl.
And it is just my phone, and they're like, yeah, go.
They just like a bit of a
the same kind of level of energy as if it was an armed robbery.
Yeah, that kind of
response. It's like, it's Lou's phone. We gotta get it.
But then they wouldn't go in the building. So I was like, right, well, it's somewhere in that building, like this block of flats. And they were like, oh yeah, we can't go in and knock at the door because I can't remember what the excuse was. And I was like, right, I'll just do it myself then. And they were like, we wouldn't advise that.
Basically Ubered you to the guy's flat.
Yeah. And they were like, we wouldn't advise that because it's not safe without us. And I was like, yeah, but you're not going to do it with me and I want to get my phone back. So they were like, up to you, see you later. And then I think I had my friend's phone and I was texting the guy and I said, I'm with the police. Unless you bring the phone out, they're going to arrest you. And he like shat himself and was like, okay. And I said, if you want, you can just drop it in the shop. So there was a shop like near his name. I said, just drop it in the shop and then I'll come and get it. So it was a really dodgy like handover and the police had gone and they were like, we do not advise you to do this at all. But I did get the phone back. And then, oh my God, he left me this like handwritten note. He was, I think he's on like Smack or something. I did feel for him a bit, but after he's stolen the phone, he left me this handwritten note going, I'm a painter and decorator. He'd ripped a piece out of like the Yellow Pages or something or some magazine and written, I'm a painter and decorator, and then left his mobile number and said, can you pass this on to your friends and family if they need a decorator? And I thought, absolutely not.
Why I've done this. Yeah, why don't I recommend a way for you to get into their... have unfettered access to their personal possessions.
Yeah.
I think in this situation, I'm not going to say you've proved yourself trustworthy, although he did bring it back, but only under threat of police.
Also, the handwriting is like, you can't keep a steady hand. How are you going to paint anything? Like this hand, that you can't write. It's all over the show.
He might have been coming down.
Yeah.
God bless him. But you got it back. That's quite brave, Lou. I've got to say, that's quite brave.
I'll do anything for my phone.
It's one of those things where you like, I once had some money stolen out of, I remember years ago, and it was like devastating. I had all my rent in cash in my bag. I was in my 20s. It was really stupid. And I put it on the back of put my handbag on the back of a chair and met my friend for a coffee. Someone came along with a coat over their arm and then just like picked mine up and then carried it out underneath the coat.
Clever.
So I didn't notice. So it was like at the time it was devastating because I was like, it was not when I was like making loads of money. And then I tried to sort of go, well, maybe they needed it more than me. But it was a real lesson in kind of like, oh shit, you know, I can't just like leave my stuff, but I've been incredibly lucky. I was like 19 and I was at Universal Studios in Florida and I lost my little wallet. I had a little patent wallet and I lost it and I was queuing for a ride and I realized when I was in the queue that I'd lost
not
it.
Not near the front of the queue.
I was near the front. And I was like, oh God, I got to go. And then someone had handed it in and it was really sweet because I'd left it in the toilets, I think. And I think they'd obviously looked in it and seen that it had dollars, but like English money as well, yeah. and gone, oh, this poor person's on holiday. It might be all the money they have. They handed it in with everything in it. So sometimes there's magic out there, isn't there? But that's brave of you. Like, I feel like I would...
I'll tell you who it wasn't brave of. The police.
The police, exactly. Who need to, like, calm their sirens down. So that's where we started. We started with this of, like, chill out with your sirens. I think they're too loud.
Yeah, they're too loud. Like, it's... We get it. We get it. Like, you're moving through. You need a bit of space. You got a little thing to get to. We get it. But just tone it down a bit, because it deafens you as it goes past.
How do you feel about the ones where they don't have a siren and then all of a sudden an arm comes out the window and... They pop one on top of the car.
Oh, like
an undercover. That's quite sexy, isn't it? That's a bit sexy.
It's like, it just goes to show you can transform yourself. You know? I love that.
Colour me beautiful, but for like, and
it's
a makeover.
And I always look at the car and think, if you was a criminal in the area, you'd take down that registration, wouldn't you? Because they must have like all different ones, but they must change it about a bit. But I think it's funny the car they use as well, because it's like a bit of psychology goes into
selecting
that,
so you don't seem like you're so that's okay. If you take the siren out and slam it on, we're all right with that. Well, they're different sounds, aren't they? Ambulance, fire engine, and
are they
police car? Yeah
never knew that.
Different whales.
Wow.
Different sirens. Different.
I hate them all, of course.
Yeah, because if you hear the police, you go, oh, it's the police. That's why you can hear it.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Wowie. Well, you're learning.
You're learning. So we want to keep the different sounds. We just want to turn it down. Bring it down a notch.
Or like a...
Or do you want them to play
sound.
Music like ice cream vans? Like, like happy tunes?
I guess there needs to be a sense of urgency, but like how much urgency? But also... We're learning all the time, because now burglars as well, thieves, can learn, take a coat with you, swipe the bag under the coat.
Yeah, I'm really teaching a lot on this podcast. I should have thought about that a bit more carefully, Lou. Yes, you're correct. You're correct. We're coming in hot, Lou.
Mm.
Hot topic, right? People send me in their issues for angry aunts, so I get angry for them. And this one is from Tina Sesselman, who sent in, my issue is when... Three people walk next to each other on the sidewalk. So
yes.
So Tina's coming from America, because we would say pavement.
Yeah.
And no one will make space for me when I walk in their direction, and there's no space for me to go anywhere else. So the only possible scenario is that we bump shoulders. I want to rip their heads off and kick them in the shin, which is quite a full-on reaction from Tina, but I get it.
Well, I've thought about this. That's the first I've heard of it, but I've thought about this from when I have it, and I think, what is it triggering me? It's kind of not being noticed. I think I did stand up because I don't think I was, like, noticed in my family.
Right, right.
So okay. I think that's why I did it, to, like, get a surprise attention. And I think, like, the reason it is a primal sort of annoyance, anger, is because these people are just not seeing you, or not, like, making room for you. So I think it goes deeper. That's...
Well, right. So I think, Tina, it could be deeper. Here's what I've noticed. I do think there's a male-female split on this. I think we are socialised... And this is not a bad thing to make, because I kind of wish I'd been socialised that way. But women are a bit more socialised to kind of move and make space and go, there are other people. Whereas men are like, you're in the world and you're dominant and you can. And I kind of almost wish that I'd have had that, to like, I'm going to take up space. I'm going to take up as much space as I want to take. So I noticed during the pandemic, when we were trying to distance, that I'd sometimes end up just like walking in the road, because a guy wasn't moving out the way. So I was like, I'm going to go head to head and see who moves. And it was always me.
Oh,
like,
really?
You know, like, yeah. So we'd go towards each other. But I do think it is not being seen. It's... Especially if you feel like you always have to relent, you're like, it's a dominant. So from the male perspective, a male friend of mine, my friend Stuart, he said to me once, it's actually, there's like a really like deep, like prehistoric part of your brain as a man, that when you walk down the street, it's almost like a dominance thing, like an animal thing, where you're like, who's walking, and someone's going to back down. Whereas women, we don't see that
with
each other.
Well, you did do that in your car to a man and he backed down. I noticed on the way here, you were like, back up, bitch, to this guy, and he timidly reversed. So maybe things are changing.
It for the women, Lou.
Well, I have noticed women doing it as well, definitely. Like these three, like, to be fair, they were schoolgirls, you know.
Yeah.
Women, like, were not budging for me. But I think maybe a way around it is just stop just stand there, and then they'll have to move around you.
Go around you. Yeah. Be the immovable object.
Yeah.
I am the immovable object.
And also it's nice to act with compassion. We don't want to be like, it's capitalism versus like, I don't know, we can move like water, you know, rather than just be like socialism. Bullish, you know.
Yeah. We can. And it's, and I do think it is quite nice to kind of go make way, and then someone smiles and nods. And you could get yourself, here's the other thing that can happen. You can get yourself into your head about so much of this and then start getting into these weird rules. And I always have to remind myself that other people don't think the way I think, mm-hmm. and they don't, the same rules don't apply to them. So if I pull over in my car for someone and they don't say thanks, I am a bit like, you could have said thanks. But then like there's micro versions of that are like, someone holds up a hand, someone does a finger, and you're like, oh, a finger, is it a finger, is it that I'm getting, you know. And then you're like, who says anyone has to say thank you? You've pulled in because someone has to pull in, and that's that. Just get on with your day.
Yeah, I get exactly the same, actually. Look at me at the start, I was like, I've got no gripes, and then I'm like, oh yeah, I've got but the car thing, I just think, do you say thanks? But then I know if I've been in my head about something else, I've not done it myself, and I am thankful, I just forgot to say it. So, you know, you just think, no one's out to... But your thinking is so important, how you navigate the world. And if you're like getting all bunched up over someone not saying thanks because you chose to pull in...
Yes.
You go, yeah.
How do you get through the day? It's too exhausting. Yeah. It's too exhausting to let that get... What is it they say? The don't sweat the small stuff. Which is, you know, it's very, we've been quite cathartic today, but the not sweating the small stuff, you go, in the grand scheme of things, does it matter that someone I'm never going to see again, I just pulled in for, or that I moved from, like on the street, you're walking along the street, you've moved out the way for someone, they didn't nod or acknowledge you or smile.
They're in their own heads a lot.
They're in their own head. You're in your head.
But I have beeped cars. If they don't say thanks and I've made a big effort to pull over, I've sometimes beeped them and then said thank you for them. And then I think, grow up.
It is quite, that's cathartic though. Sometimes in the moment you're like,
yeah.
Or sometimes you're like, oh, I'll just go fuck myself, shall I? It's like, move on with your day. But yes, they're walking down a street. Who gives way? Because we're not in our car. We're humans. We're in life. So we should try and give way. If both people try and give way, then.
Usually though, there's a kind of common, like, sort of move, like, you know, where it's a bit on both sides, isn't it?
Yes, that's quite nice. Sharing.
If it's an older person, yeah, sure, I'll do a bit more of the legwork.
Yeah.
You know, if it's a young person, go fuck yourself.
Well, I think young groups of kids sometimes, but it's just an unawareness. Because I remember being that age and going, we're sprawling all out and not even thinking
They've got fidget spinners to do and magazines to flick through.
They're out on the streets with their magazines and their fidget spinners.
Yeah, they are. They've got table football to think about and cards to collect.
Well, thank you for that, Tina Sesselman. Angry Aunt agrees. I think it's bad. And also, we don't like the physical contact, the bumping shoulders, because that feels like it moves into an aggression. So that's why the next thing you have to do is you go, well, I have to move then so that this doesn't happen, so that we don't shoulder charge each other.
Well,
you know,
maybe sort of go chest to chest and make it an event. Go tit to tit and make a new friend. That's my advice.
Thank you for sharing your angry aunt, Tina. Lou, before we wrap this up, tell us what you got coming up, Lou. What have you got to plug?
Oh, I don't believe in plugging things. But having said that, my book you can probably pre-order it by the time this comes out, maybe. It's called What's That Lady Doing? Sobriety, Massages and Other Happy Endings. And yeah, I reckon you can pre-order it. If not, have a think about pre-ordering it and then pre-order it.
Just think about Lou's book in your head.
Yeah.
Imagine it.
Don't stop thinking about it, basically.
Hold on to it. I like the title. Yeah. Great title. Lou's very funny, so her book will be funny. So, yes, if you can't pre-order it, look out for it in the bookshop when it comes out.
Yeah.
Also, do you have live shows coming up?
Oh, yeah. But on my podcast, Cuddle Club, which you've been on as well.
Yes.
That's it, really. I do Taskmaster People's podcast, but that's very niche. Does depend if you love Taskmaster, because that's the second Taskmaster podcast. You can't have enough these days. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you are so welcome. And I'm sure you can follow Lou on all the social medias, on Instagram and Twitter, all that business as well, because she's funny on Twitter. I do see funny tweets from you on there.
You do, don't you?
Thanks for joining us. See you next time.
Bye.
You can listen to other programmes from The Bugle, including The Bugle, Catharsis, Tiny Revolutions, Top Stories and The Gargle, wherever you find your podcasts.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.